and welcome to Myth Monsters. My name is Erin, and I'll be your host for these little snack bite-sized podcasts on folklore and mythical monsters from around the world. These podcasts focus on the actual cryptids, folklore and mythic monsters from global mythology, rather than focusing on the full stories of heroes and their big adventures. I'll also be dropping in some references that they have to recent culture, and where you can see these represented in modern day content, so that you can learn more and get as obsessed as I am about these absolute legends of the mythological world. We're back! I hope you had a lovely 2 weeks off from my sumptuous vocal tones, but I am back. I had a nice little break myself, spending much of my time playing video games. I went on holiday with my family to Kent for a little while, but I've also prepared a whole load of episodes for the future, just so that you won't miss me whilst I'm away on holidays this month, and you still get your mythical monster content from me. But speaking of which, we're coming back to a really interesting monster this week, and we're heading over to a country that we've not gone to before, but one that you may know from influencer holiday snaps. Yes, we are heading over to the beautiful Indonesian island of Bali this week, and looking at a spooky demon from Balinese folklore, the Layak. The Layak are technically demons, and they generally do look pretty horrifying. They are described as being floating female humanoid heads, with entrails hanging out of their neck, including a heart, lungs, liver, and intestines. In theory, they are just corrupted women who practice black magic, but we can kind of consider them a demon, and once you hear their MO, maybe you kind of agree with me. They have immensely long tongues and sharp fangs within this form, but this only happens at night. During the day, they retain a normal human shape, but can detach their body and fly off in the evenings. These monsters are regularly found haunting graveyards, where they feed on corpses at night, as they do have a very cannibalistic nature to them. However, their prey is not usually the dead, but the newly living. They will hunt for pregnant women around their home graveyard, and if they get the chance, they will suck the blood of the newborn, or if they are not born yet, they will actively try and suck the blood of the unborn fetus by sticking their long, proboscis-like tongue into the belly button, mouth, nose, or ear of the pregnant woman to feed exclusively from the child. Although they are impartial to a bit of pregnant woman as well. Once the child is 3 months old, though, they are protected from the Layak, so the first few months of the child's life are the scariest for these local women. In terms of powers, bar the body separation and the long tongues and blood sucking, they can also transform into other animals. Most commonly, though, they will be found as a fly or a pig to get around easier without drawing suspicion. Alongside their eating of their prey too, they would also possess the subject, which would make them slightly vulnerable as they were then traceable in terms of their location for the hunters of these types of monsters. If you were targeted by a Layak though, and you were not one of these protected groups like newborn babies, unborn babies, or pregnant women, they could also leave things such as nails embedded into your body, as well as causing sickness and disease within the family. They were generally quite deadly to have around your house. If you did notice you had a Layak in your family, the only way you could remove this from your home was to take the possessed person away from Bali, as they were not able to leave the island and would then evaporate into nothingness, killing it for good and leaving the person who was possessed completely fine. You could also distract them by leaving a bowl of fresh blood of anything outside your home, and this was apparently enough to completely dispel them. You could also conduct a séance, where the victim would identify their attacker by pointing them out. However, revenge was very much dissuaded by the Balian healers. It was very much not recommended to seek your own vengeance, and the spirits would kind of sort themselves out unless you took that person away from Bali. Now, whilst they are considered demons, as I said earlier, they were just corrupted souls that were practicing black magic in life, and usually died very early due to poking into magic they shouldn't have. but there were only actually three reported Layaks altogether, two of them being female and one of them being male, which was very unusual. There were no reported reproduction rates of these, although they did have the genders in order to procreate, and so it was just considered that you were targeted by one of the three Layaks around Bali if you were targeted. All Layaks, though, report into a Layak queen or demon queen named Rangda, who was a child-eating demon who led an army of witches and demons against the good entity of Balinese folklore, Barong, who we'll cover in another episode as he is a creature unto himself. But these two depict the eternal struggle between good and evil within this folklore. Rangda is usually portrayed as a nude old woman who has a very, very long tongue, protruding eyes and long fangs, as well as having really long, unkempt hair and claws. She's very often related to the Hindu goddess of destruction and protection, Kali, or even Durga, the Hindu goddess of motherhood, strength and also destruction. And this does make sense as Bali is a Hindi island, but she is known as the Layak Queen whilst having some of their features and looks over and guards the use of black magic in humans. Because of this connection to black magic, it's also believed that you could summon Layaks to set upon business rivals, cheating spouses, neighbours or enemies, where they would wreak havoc on their lives in the way I described earlier. So it's pretty rough, although these were uncommon, they would usually just hunt around their graveyards for these protected prey, we would consider them.
The park is now open for the new season.
Adventure ho!
Oh, I'm so excited!
New and old characters once again return to Proserpina Park with another mystery on hand.
Hi, I'm Jessica.
I'm Alina. These are my friends, Drew and June, and, you know, Dog. We're so new to the park. We want to know everything.
Well, let's see. The obvious things are stay away from the waters.
He's an encantado, a were-dolphin known along the Amazon River. Stay on your guard.
A were dolphin?
Oh, like a werewolf, but dolphins!
Stay away from the mountains.
Anansi! Oh my god, I didn't think we'd actually meet.
Child, you are dealing with not just any god, but a trickster. I am not always the hero in the stories.
And stay away from the woods.
Let's go! Oh, let's
okay,
go! Let's
okay.
go! Let's go!
Wait for me!
Just run.
Okay. So, even unicorns are mean creatures here. What's up with that?
Wow, this park is pretty dangerous, isn't it?
A new season of Residents of Proserpina Park returns. The residents have been waiting.
Come on. You wanted to see how I survive in the park? I'll show you.
In terms of etymology, Layak means bad witch in Indonesian. However, it comes from two root words, one being li, meaning witch, and ak, meaning bad. The word is sometimes spelt without the Y, but is very often used in this way in Western media to kind of take it away from the leak that you'd have in your roof on a rainy day. However, what is interesting is that in Sri Lanka, across thousands and thousands of miles away, they have monsters called Yakshas, which live all over Asia, and their name comes from the Sinhala language, where Li means blood and Yak means demon. So altogether, it's the summary of what a Layak is in Balinese culture. And I thought this was quite cool, at least. For their history, though, this is where it gets interesting and where my job as your informer starts to get really, really difficult. Unfortunately, there is no clear history with these monsters, and there's no definitive date or even century that the sightings or reports of these started. However, what we do know about Bali is that it's a really old country, and they have a large native population made up of mostly island tribes, meaning that a lot of the time you would find these kind of myths started in these villages or tribes, and they would spread through word of mouth, meaning we can never really put a date on them anyway. However, what we do have is Rangda's history and story, which does give some idea as to how far they go back, as she is considered their queen. This goes back to at least the 10th century, or around 900 AD, as during this time in ancient Java, there was an infamous witch named Kalongarang, who practiced black magic and made all of the local farmers' crops die and spread disease throughout her local community. She had a daughter called Ratna, but due to her mother's nature and reputation, she could not find a husband. And in revenge, Kallon kidnapped a local girl and sacrificed her to Durga, the goddess of death, and a great flood swept across the village, killing all of the local men. King Erlanger heard of this and sent his advisor to deal with the issue, and instead of doing that, he decided to send his disciple, Empu Bahula, to marry Ratna instead. They had a huge wedding over 7 days and nights, and during this her new son-in-law found Kallon's Book of Black Magic and handed this over to the king. Empu Bahula and his leader fought her, and without Durga's help, Kallon was defeated and the village was saved. It was believed that Kallon in death became what we know as Rangdanao, leading a legion of child-murdering Layaks who spread disease and chaos in her goddess Durga's name. There is another interpretation of the story, and that is that Rangda was originally the mother of King Erlanger and was exiled and condemned for her use of black magic. So she sought revenge on her ex-husband and summoned all of the evil spirits in the jungle, including Layaks and demons, and they caused a huge plague. She managed to kill half of the kingdom before she was killed by a holy man, and then she was reincarnated as Rangda, the demon queen. Layaks themselves have no discernible history, as I said. However, based on these stories, we do have to imagine that they were around before the 1900s to have a story linked to their queen. Layaks represent disease and illness within Balinese culture, and each village will have a mask of Rangda or a Layak in their local death temple, as they were known to ward off any influence of Rangda's demonic hordes. So it does seem like it is a very old tribal tradition. For real-life comparison though, they are often linked to the sun bear, which, if you don't know, are the sweetest looking bears I think we have on the planet. They are generally smaller than most, and they have black fur with a kind of sunflower looking patch on their chests, hence the name. They have immensely long tongues, and they generally stand at about 6 foot, making them slightly more human looking like and sized. It was believed that these were the hidden forms of Layak during the day, but they were probably just trying to eat some honey, you know? That is what they have the long tongues for, it's for foraging, and they really stick them in there. For mythical comparisons though, you may have been thinking this whole time, this really sounds like another monster we've covered in the past, with the floating head, the organs, long tongue and a habit for eating babies and pregnant women. And you'd be right. They're even from Asia, much like the others, and the ones that you're probably thinking of are the Penangalang or the Manananggal, which we've covered in the past. The Penangalang is a Malay monster who does exactly the same thing, separating head from body with floating organs and feasting on women either menstruating or pregnant at the time. There is actually another that we haven't covered yet, which is the Kresu, which again is the same kind of monster, but from Thailand, Laos, Singapore, Vietnam, and India. But this one is more of an umbrella term monster for all of Southeast Asia. So whilst they are different monsters, they are just regional variants, which usually I would cover in one episode, but the Penangalang, the Kresu, and the Layak are all different enough to have their own episodes, which is why you might be thinking I'm slightly repeating content, which I promise I'm not, or at least I'm trying not to. The Manananggal is a slightly different variant within Filipino folklore, as they are more considered vampires and only separate their upper and lower halves, and they do have wings in order to fly around. Whilst they do still have the long tongue and craving for pregnant women, they are again slightly different, and they have all massively different cultural impacts to where they come from. But you can definitely see a theme across Asia for these monsters, and one that preys on the innocence of newborns and the vulnerability of pregnant women, which in itself is an interesting cultural focal point for a monster. It certainly implies that these people should be protected from forces like this, and gives a good excuse to stay safe during pregnancy and with newborns, which is fair. But it is really alarming and amazing all at once to see a monster that is covered so much by regional variants within this part of the world. It's really, really cool, and I love covering this type of monster too. Now, on to modern media. I have merged all of those monsters that I spoke about earlier into a super modern media special, as there isn't much for Layax specifically. But for art, have a look at the classic costumes and statues of Rangda and the Layax from around Bali. You can just pop Layax into Google Images to see some really beautiful masks and costumes from plays around the Demon Queen and their eternal battle with good. Otherwise, stick to independent stuff this week. This is where my advertising image came from too. There is some really cool stuff out there, especially to do with all of this kind of variant of monster. In movies though, we have Lipad, Dana, Pangsapit Nung Delem, Shake, Rattle and Roll, Impactita, Manananggal in Manila, Scary Mother, Ang Manananggal Sa Unit 23B, Mystics in Bali, Feitu Monu, Demonic Beauty, Panangalang, The Aswang Phenomenon, Creep Show, Manananggal, and The Boxer's Omen. There's a lot of Tagalog and other languages from Southeast Asia in here, so forgive me if I haven't pronounced them right. I do try my best, and I do have a lot of friends in these areas, so I do check them out, but please forgive me if you're from there and I've butchered that. For TV, we have Marvel Anime Blade, Encrypted, Elemento, Supernatural, and Grimm. And in video games, we have ones such as Manang Game, Nightfall Escape, Dungeons & Dragons, Pathfinder, Indivisible, Dark Conspiracy, Malifaux, and Final Fantasy. My book recommendation this week is to have a look at Indonesian Folktales by Murty Banata and Margaret Reed MacDonald for a great insight into the islands of Indonesia, such as Bali, and their folklore. It's definitely one that I've missed out on before, so I really recommend it. Or if you're looking for something a little easier to step into this mythology, have a look at Indonesian children's favourite stories, Fables, Myths and Fairy Tales by Jun Suyanaga and Salim Martoriwayajo for some really good kid-friendly stories too.
Welcome to Tabletop. My name is Nick, and I think that fudging dice rolls is totally okay.
Hey, it's me, Franco, and rolling for initiative sucks.
I'm Daniel, and I think you should modify your first level characters as much as you want.
And I'm Shade, and if your TTRPG hasn't evolved into a LARP, you've done it wrong.
And we all host Tabletopped, a TTRPG podcast about all things games and storytelling.
And sometimes we have game designers, professional researchers, and even the occasional owlbear.
If this interests you, listen to Tabletop every Monday, wherever you get your podcasts. Tabletop is a proud member of the Helios Network.
But now it's time for Do I Think They Existed? I'm not too sure about this one. Just like I was in my previous Asian baby-eating innards monsters, because it seems like the belief in them is so widely spread and they are so feared and respected to this day, that it gives me a slight case of the willies. Whilst I've never been pregnant, the idea of something sucking the life out of a child I've not even met yet is quite scary, and I would definitely take much, much more caution, but I guess you do that anyway as a pregnant person, I suppose. I do love that this myth intrinsically links to the Balinese and Hindu religion, and this idea of the Layak Queen is not something that we've really seen before with demons and hierarchy, so it's really interesting to me, at least. I also love that Rangda has firmly made an impact as this demon queen within this culture and represents the evil that is constantly battling with good, with her horde of monsters like the Layak on her side. I am now even more excited to cover Barong to give you the other side of this story on the good. You cannot say that I only talk about evil monsters on this podcast, although I do love them. But I also love going over to this part of the world, and I'm already kind of biased as I've covered a few of these types of monsters already, but these are definitely my favourite as they are those more malevolent and just really evil to pick on newborn babies and very vulnerable people, which doesn't sound great from my side. I promise I don't enjoy that, but I do like covering the evil ones. They're just so much more fun and out of the box. But what do you think? Did the Layak roam the graveyards of Bali? Let me know on Twitter. I would love to know what you think about this one. A great and different monster to come back to, and I am so, so happy to be back. This one was super different, and as you know, I love covering something new as well as named monsters, which I find really fascinating. But next week, we are heading over to Scotland for a wonderful Gaelic folklore monster for the spooky omen spirit of death, the Benia. If you catch a washerwoman in the night by a river, maybe you should avoid her next Thursday. I'm actually in Scotland, in Glasgow, next week when this goes live, so I'm very, very excited to have this going on whilst I'm in bonnie wee Scotland. For now, though, thank you so much for listening. It's been an absolute pleasure. If you enjoyed this podcast, please give it a rating on the service you are listening on. I've got the Twitter for any questions or suggestions on what monsters to cover next, and I'd really love to hear from you. The social media handles for TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, and Threads are Myth Monsters Podcast, and the Twitter is Myth Monsters Pod. All of our content can be found at mythmonsters.co.uk, and you can find us on Good Pods, Buy Me a Coffee, and Patreon if you want to help me fund the podcast too. Come join the fun though, share this with your pals, they might love me as much as you do. But for now, stay spooky, and I'll see you later, babes.